this a souvenir. I call it criminal. Many of the world will call this a souvenir. I call it criminal. Many of the world's most magnificent animals are being pushed towards extinction by the illegal trade in products made from their body parts. When you travel abroad, you may be offered some of these products. They might look nothing like the animal itself, but don't be fooled. An animal's been killed to make one of these. Thanks anyway. Drop me a postcard instead. Please, remember, when the buying stops, the killing can too.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, f-
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, it is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh my God, what is that?
People were proud in double black alley. Neighbors were loud, but ever so pally. People would shout, joking about smoke and the soot.
WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. What is this? My name's Chris Earle. I'm here with Derek Gary and Winston Kidd here today with us. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
You should be. Yep. Hold on. Maybe Winston's not on.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
That's all right.
It
we
is
can
the,
fix him.
The ritual attack of the mixing board.
There you go.
To begin every show.
Try that one. Oh, looks like Winston's not on.
Oh, no.
What number is that? That's mic two, isn't it? Mic three?
Mic two.
Oh, looks like we're reporting this one. Wait a second.
So wait, nothing on mic two?
Try now.
How's
There you go.
Mic two is on.
Yeah, somebody's been playing with the board.
Yeah.
I don't like it when they play with
just,
the board.
I tell you, do a global reset every time that we come in.
I know.
You just press the button and do that, and then you can start fresh.
I could do it now while we're on the air.
Well,
we're going to go
we
down
we don't need to now because it all works. You know. Don't do it now.
Everything, I love a nice global reset.
Everything will break again. There's somebody who comes in here on Wednesdays, and we know it's not Joyce.
Yeah.
Because Joyce never messes around with the board.
No.
But there's somebody who comes in here on Wednesdays and completely screws up the board.
Yeah, I
agree. This has been going on for months. And it's like, why do you keep coming in and doing this?
I know. We had a wonderful intro for Winston, too. Go ahead. Now, Winston Kidd, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Winston Kidd.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is your first time on the new show. What is this?
Yeah, this is the new format, and I'm like... Go gentle, guys. It's
so
my first time.
We like to play odd audio, and then we like to talk about it. So we have odd audio, serious explanation. So far, not very odd audio, but we had some Double Back Alley in there, of course, by the Ruddles.
Great.
From 1978. Great Beatles cover band.
What are the better Ruddles songs? And the interesting thing about that one is they stray very heavily into Kinks territory with that one.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it sounds exactly like Penny Lane.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
it sounds exactly like it.
Was the thing. It's like, musically, all of it sounds like the Beatles. But lyrically, this is one of the few that really goes into Kinks territory.
Yeah.
Much more than Beatles territory.
Yeah.
Because the Beatles were always about sort of giant, grand, abstract, you know, even Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields. They're about basic, like, daily life. But there's a lot of symbolism in it, whereas the Kinks were just about, we live at the crappy end of town and life sucks, but
that's right.
You know, there's beer, so let's get on with it.
I always get surprised that the Kinks aren't bigger than what they were. They never got to be as big as what they were. I think they were inconsistent, maybe, with those albums that they did.
They changed a lot over the years.
Let me go back in time.
Okay. Winston's going back in time. Kinks time.
Yeah, Kinks time.
Not Kinky time, Kinks time.
Was it the Kinks or the Fools that you went to a long time, like 20 years ago, you went to a concert and saw none other than number 12 there?
Number 12, yes. That was the Fools.
That was
Tom Brady, yes. Yeah, that was the Fools.
Okay.
I did see the Kinks once, which was 1993 in Foxborough. It was April 20th. It was the Earth Day concert. Headlined by the Kinks, Midnight Oil was on the bill.
Oh, nice.
Fishbone was on the bill. The Indigo Girls was on the bill. And it was the one and only time I saw a man go into a porta potty, skip the line from everybody, and they knocked down the porta potty, and he came out blue and covered in feces and urine.
Nice.
You're kidding
me. He tried to hug everybody that tipped him over.
Oh, yeah.
And we ran.
We call that joining the Blue Man Group.
I would
the Patriots
certainly
games.
Run.
It was fun. I went with a buddy, Steve. He was 21, so he was buying us beers. I wasn't 21 yet, and I went with a girlfriend and her friends. We had a good time, but it was really, really cold. April 20th, it was freezing that day. I remember it was snowing for a little while, and the guy from Fishbone came out in his underwear, and he's like, "It's effing cold." And I'm like, "Yeah, why don't you put on a jacket, dude?
Yeah, do something. Don't come out here in your underwear."
Pretty wild, though. Pretty wild concert. And, you know, unfortunately, the string of Earth Day concerts never happened after that. I thought they would, but they never did.
Well, they left a lot of litter behind, and it kind of defeated the purpose.
Yeah, it's like Earth Day is only important every few years now. Yeah. It's not really an annual event anymore. Nobody seems to be sure what day it's on anymore, either.
Let's burn a small town's worth of electricity and leave a pile of trash to have a concert celebrating eco-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't quite work out.
Yeah.
I saw the Kinks at the Orpheum in 1988.
Yep.
And the entire building was shaking.
Yeah, nice.
This was before
Orpheum was a great place to see a show.
This was before they shut down the balcony due to structural concerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole balcony was going up and down.
Possibly the cause of them shutting down the balcony.
That's right.
The whole balcony was going up and down.
Either that or B.B. King went upstairs one night.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you got to come downstairs, B.B. The balcony's going to crash.
Yeah.
The Orpheum still exists. It's still a good place to see a show, but they don't do enough there. The Pet Shop Boys there.
We saw the Pet Shop Boys.
That was the last concert we saw there.
And we were in one of the boxes on the side.
That was fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I love those boxes.
Yeah, me too.
Anytime you can stick me in an opera box in a venue, I'm there.
Me too. Right. It's like you're on display. It's like you're part of the show.
But you also got your own like private little space to just screw around in.
Yeah, we had dancing space.
And nobody's bothering you.
Yep.
Like if there's somebody else in the box, it's like there's like four of you there. And you're like, hey, how you doing? And you're going to have a good night with those people.
The Pet Shop Boys, they would have just picked us up and started carrying us on their shoulders if we were downstairs.
Are they touring this year?
I don't know. They toured with New Order. That was last year, right?
Yeah,
the end of the summer?
They were supposed
lousy
to be,
out, though.
Supposed
Rainy.
To be doing the 50th anniversary tour or the 40th anniversary
Jeez.
Tour this year.
God.
You feel old yet?
Pet Shop. They're Pet Shop men.
Yeah.
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 Pet Shop Geriatrics. What are you kidding?
Yeah. They're the Pet Shop men now.
You were trying to con me into getting some of those Bruce Springsteen tickets over the weekend.
No, you know. I wasn't conning you into it. I had an extra one. Christ, they're going for thousands of dollars. I can sell them. I was going to give you one.
Yeah.
But you don't like them. I want to go with people that like Springsteen.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like me.
Yeah, Winston likes Springsteen.
Yeah, take Winston. I am not. I like Bruce Springsteen's songwriting, and I like some of what he's put out.
Yeah.
But I am by no means a Springsteen mega fan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all right. You don't have to be.
You know, and it's just the
you have to appreciate the boss, though.
The thought of going through all that just to go see Bruce Springsteen is like, eh, no.
Yeah.
You know.
Edward just came in and he's saying hello. I haven't seen him in quite a while.
I'm a Roger Waters guy.
Roger Waters?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Roger Waters, too.
As we know, I'm a Roger Waters guy. So I would absolutely go see that.
I don't think he's coming back, though.
I don't think he is either.
Yeah. I think he's all done.
I think he's had enough.
There's all kinds of new things happening here in Somerville.
Somerville Open Studios this weekend, May 6th and May 7th. Thank you,
Edward
Buechler, for letting us know that it's happening. Yeah, these are fresh. Where are you going to be, Edward?
Well, I'm probably going to be in my sunroom playing my stereo ultra bass guitars.
Oh, there we go.
It is so wonderful to... We haven't seen each other since, like, before COVID when we used to have, like, staff meetings here.
That's right.
I know.
I know. Older days.
It's been a while.
So it's great to see two of my favorite WMFO DJs, and you're, like, some of the longest-serving community members.
That is true, yeah.
You are looking more like Fred Schneider with every passing year. I don't know if this is a choice. You got like a kind of Fred Schneider. If Fred Schneider and Johnny Rotten had a kid, this is what it would be.
The really cool thing about getting your hair cut reasonably short to begin with is then you can spike it up.
Nice.
And that's just what I'm doing. And if I flipped it around a little bit, I'd look perfectly respectable.
Yeah.
it looks good.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
You know, talking about being perfectly respectable, one of the public service announcements that I'm really proud of is that recent one about the Mystic River Reservation. And I'm glad DJs are reading it, and there's a convenient map for Tufts students. And I've been noticing more people like there, which is, you know, it's natural because it's springtime and everything. But there were two, I go out there usually 5 miles, 5 days a week on the weekdays. And there were a young man and a young woman wearing Tufts T-shirts the other day. And I wasn't really dressed incredibly well. I was wearing this very old sweatshirt.
Sure.
That was kind of dilapidated, and my pants kind of have some holes that I've repaired and everything. But, you know, I'm into economy and everything. And they gave me what I would say is a pretty dirty look.
Yeah.
And the thought that came after me was like, I was wondering if perhaps they were there for the first time because they had either heard the public service message about the Mystic River Reservation,
okay,
or maybe they'd read it and something like that. I was just like, wouldn't it be ironic if you were here because this, you know. And then the other thing that I wanted to say about that was I was running along yesterday, and a young woman I was running on the opposite side of the Mystic River Reservation Trail.
Sure.
And she smiled at me and she waved.
Nice.
Wow.
All right.
And
that's what I like to hear. That's spring fever.
That doesn't happen.
Right, no. There. Doesn't happen much anymore.
Actual courtesy? Actual, like, human kindness and interaction?
That was flirtation. That was downright flirtation.
Well, you know, it amazed me, too. And then I realized afterwards that that day I wasn't wearing the old decrepit hoodie kind of thing. I was wearing a WMFO sweatshirt.
There you go. There you go. That's why you got to go to the website and get that sweatshirt.
Get that donation.
It's still out there, right? The donation's still out there?
So isn't that a good segue for all of that? Yeah. So
that is.
Yeah.
Great to see you guys.
Great to see you too. Have a great time this weekend.
Thank you.
Donations drive, WMFO.org, donations. You can get a sweatshirt. You can get a cup. It has a teddy bear on it.
Throw some money. The t-shirt is gorgeous.
For $25.
Throw some money at this station, will you please?
And if you want to flirt down at the river, get yourself a hoodie. It's $30-$40. Winston, you can use a hoodie.
Stories are that the hoodie is really, it's a chick magnet. That's what we're talking about.
And you can get the swag gift box. It has everything in it. $80. And sealed with a kiss from Derek Gary.
Nice.
Yeah. Station ID recording.
I'll lick the box.
Yeah. If you want to do an ID recording,
$100. We'll let you come in and do a station ID.
$100.
That's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
But these t-shirts are nice.
I should have one for Dr. Demento coming in anytime. For what is this?
Oh, nice.
You're going to be like, what is this? And like, it's Dr. Demento talking about us.
Nice.
Yeah. It'd be pretty cool.
I hate those guys. I wish they'd stop polluting the airwaves with their nonsense. Winston.
Like, give it up.
How have you been? I mean, it's been a while since we've had you.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of Christmas shows without you. And it's just not the same.
I do have to say, it is quite refreshing that I'm not necessarily the most broken person in the room. After years of breaks and problems.
Oh, man.
But you are my pal, and we do want to know that you're doing well. So what's been going on?
I've been recovering 7 weeks ago today.
Nice. 7 weeks today.
I had a total knee replacement on my right knee.
Right knee. So you got the metal in there, the titanium?
I am titanium.
No cadavers.
Nice.
No dead bodies or anything.
No, I went with the mechanical version.
Yeah.
Not going to try to do some biologics because, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows where that...
So,
you don't know where that knee has been.
Yeah.
So if somebody starts shooting, the safest place to be is behind Winston's right knee.
Exactly.
That's true.
All right? Yeah. And I will fight you to get back there.
That's true.
It's actually, just to be clear, it's the upper part of the knee is the titanium.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have a black man's ligament, actually, so I can jump a little higher. So that's what happened to me after I got my mine done.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is good.
It's very intersectional of you.
Yeah.
I've somehow, I'm not even going to say it.
You don't want to jinx yourself,
I'm
right?
All original parts is all I'm going to say, except for the ones that have fallen out.
For now.
So, yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Time,
oh, man.
Time ages you, and it not like wine.
My kid so much breathes on my knee, and I'm in excruciating pain.
I'll tell you, Edward looks great, though. He looks 10 years younger.
He does.
I don't know what he's doing there.
Yeah.
He must be, he's out by the river.
He's hanging around the river.
He's hanging around the river.
Making friends.
He's making friends.
Getting some exercise.
He's got exercise. He's got a new hoodie. Changed his hair a little bit.
I want to say we all seem to be in slightly better shape than we were, like, pre-COVID.
I think that has something to do with drinking and smoking while you do stand-up comedy.
It could be. Yeah,
it and
could
it
be.
Just took a lot of time. But, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot died. I'll play that in a little bit.
Are we doing the whole wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
We can. Yeah, if you'd like to, we can.
20 minutes of misery.
I actually saw him last year, and
you really?
He was great.
Yeah,
yeah. He really doesn't sound anything like he did, but he was still very good. Great guitar player, and he had a couple people behind him accompanying him, but they did not overwhelm him. He was quieter. He played his guitar, and they were very laid back. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
I like that, Gordon. I thought Gordon Lightfoot was great. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was a great, great song.
Great writer, great guitar player, and you don't really get that combo much anymore. You know, the 70s and the 80s, arguably, are kind of the last of the great guitar players and the great writers combo.
Yeah.
But this is also one of the great ones. Carefree Highway, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Sundown, great one.
There was that period of time where they actually expected artists to like write their own music and perform their own music.
Yeah.
because they kept it separated for so long. And then Dylan comes along, and he's like, no, I can do all this. And Springsteen comes along, and he's like, I can do all this. And suddenly it's like, all right, let's see if we can find other people who can actually write and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a nice little explosion of, you know, acts with real talent in the 70s and 80s. And then they go back to the old thing, which is someone writes the song, someone records the song.
Yep.
And you're looking at wildly different. Like, if you can't dance, you can't be a recording star anymore.
True. Yeah, very true. I don't even think there are very many recording stars anymore. They're all just thrown together on television first.
But didn't that, yeah. isn't that kind
well,
of
they're from Japan.
A cycle we go through?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it comes back to the Jackson 5 and the Osmond family.
Yeah.
Where it just the music wasn't where it could be, but the dance was on point.
But we've been stuck in this loop of dancing and mediocre music for 28 years now. I think 95 is when it really started blowing up again.
And there should be a separation of dance and music, in my opinion.
There should.
I was never really much of a dancer. I was more into the music.
Yeah.
But, you know, you bob your head up and down. You remember your first concert, Winston? What did you do at your first concert? Do you remember? Were you uncomfortable? Did you fit right in?
My first concert was Bruce Springsteen at the Meadowlands.
Was it?
Oh, there
really?
We go.
Nice.
Whoa.
There we go.
Yikes.
The Meadowlands.
Back when it was Brendan Byrne Arena.
Yeah.
That's a good first concert.
That's, all right.
That's
so
solid.
That's legit. How old were you?
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. I have to go. It was before that, like a year or so before that. I saw U2 in Worcester.
That's wow. a decent first concert, too.
That is.
Yeah.
That probably would. That was early on in U2
yeah.
in the United States, because this was one of the first places they played.
Yeah, yeah. BCN was promoting U2, Carter Allen, right?
Yeah.
Those are solid early rock and roll credits.
Absolutely.
Did you dance, though? Did you bounce up and down, or were you just kind of like looking at everybody like, what the hell do I do?
At U2, we couldn't because we were like in the freaking nosebleed seats.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you bent.
Oh, yeah. In the old days, you bend a little bit and you're la 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 loom.
Yeah.
Over the edge.
Yeah.
I could turn around and take half the. As the concert goers
with everybody
me.
Yep. Under you.
And
look like that guy falling from the Titanic and he hits the wheel,
yeah.
spins.
Yep. Do a flip in the air and catch the football over the goal line.
Yeah, my first concert was Howard Jones.
Howard Jones.
Yeah.
Not as cool as Bruce Springsteen or U2, but I'll accept it.
Is it better if I say the Human League opened
for him? Nice, yes. Absolutely. I love the Human League. You kidding me? That's great.
Oh, man.
Mine was Rush.
Wow.
Yeah, mine was Rush. But I also didn't know what to do, and it was a sea of young men and relatively old, you know, 20s, 30s men, too, because Rush was still the 80s.
Yeah.
But now it's multi-generational. I mean, you got to go into the fourth generation when I saw Rush the last round.
Still
it was crazy.
All, still yeah. all men, though.
But, yeah. Well, no, there was quite a few women in that
women
last
don't
concert.
Like Rush.
Oh, yes, they do.
No, they
yeah.
don't.
As a matter of fact, I had a friend, Carolyn, here, and she was one of the biggest Rush fans I've ever met. I haven't. She hasn't been on a long, long time, but she was playing Rush on piano. I had her play a little bit.
Come on.
And, yeah, it was awesome.
Women don't like Rush.
No,
women don't like Pink Floyd.
I will
die by that.
No, there was quite a few Rush, especially the last concert I saw. And now they're done. So, you know, it was a shame what happened there with Neil Peart. He was great. And he had that multiple tragedy. He had his wife and his kid, like, pass. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, it was just rough time.
Was it the full original lineup when you saw them the first time?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Because I seem to recall they went through some, like, you know, breakups and reformations and what are we doing around that period of time.
Yeah, and Geddy Lee waved at me and Dennis. That's what was one thing that was cool. We were still up screaming. There was one point where, you know, we were playing, like, the Trees or something, and everybody sat down, and we were still up there, like, screaming, you know, 14, 15 years old and screaming. And he waved at us. I'm like, that's cool.
Nice.
Took a point up from his bass.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, didn't know what to do, like, dance-wise, though. And it's like, it's hard to dance when you're with, like, your buddies and stuff. It's like, there's no reason to dance. You just bob your head. It's the Bohemian Rhapsody, Wayne's World, bob your head. That's
exactly.
Yep.
I saw the Fine Young Cannibals at Greatwoods.
Yeah. Oh, Fine Young Cannibals are great, though. That's one of my favorite 80s bands. Fine Young Cannibals? You know that one, Winston?
Yeah.
She drives me crazy. Yeah.
With UB40 opening for them.
I don't like them. Yeah.
They were...
I don't know, throw the Human and League and Fine Young Cannibals
the,
together.
Well,
man,
the thing about it, was with UB40 opening for them, there wasn't enough time for UB40 to do like
that
a full set.
That was like red wine,
and it kept the worst of the reggae heads at bay.
You know who wrote that?
That was Neil Diamond, wasn't
Neil
it?
Neil Diamond.
Yeah. He's good. Like Neil Diamond, the Human League, and Fine Young Cannibals and Rush. That's a good summer concert.
I saw. I saw Tony O'K open for Huey Lewis in the New...
I don't know. Who's Tony O'K?
No.
I've never even heard of him.
Who did I see Tony O'K open for? It wasn't Huey Lewis. It was somebody else.
Or is it Tony Tone?
No, Tony O'K was this like Los Angeles, like flash in the pan pop singer.
Yeah?
No, Lonnie Mack opened for Huey Lewis in the News.
He's English, right?
No.
No? Lonnie Mack.
Lonnie Mack was the stealth bass player for The Doors.
I remember Jimmy Mack.
Yeah.
Lonnie Mack
was the session bass player for The Doors and toured with The Doors. And he was out on his own doing a kind of country thing that Huey Lewis fans weren't into.
Wow. But, yeah, I see the Oreo Cookie Blues, it says. Lonnie Mack.
Yeah. But if you know your music history, Lonnie Mack's kind of a big deal.
I know my music history. I just don't know Lonnie Mack.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, yeah, it says you played a little with Stevie Ray Vaughan, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Huey Lewis and News I saw. They were great. Yeah.
Huey, he's great. Huey can't sing anymore, which is sad.
Yeah, he's got, like, cancer or something, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Did you see the Michael Jackson thing on, or Michael Jackson, no, Michael Jackson, rest in peace. Did you see the Michael J. Fox thing on Sunday?
I didn't see the whole interview. I read the interview.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Yeah. But I know some people with Parkinson's, and it's awful.
Yeah.
And I think it's refreshing that he's gotten Parkinson's out there as far as he has being a celebrity.
Yep.
And it's so heartbreaking to see that. But he is being real, and the media doesn't know what to do with real people.
No.
And people get threatened. And it's funny because we're always scared and threatened every day by what the media presents us. But then when somebody actually gives you something real, everyone's like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? My heart goes out to him. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He's, you know.
But I don't know if he should have really shared that with the world. But that's what he wants because he's going to die.
Everybody's
going
to
die.
I think you have to, you know, because he's out there trying to raise money to get this thing fixed.
Yeah.
And
it's like the final push.
You know, the more people see the reality of it, the more likely they are to say, man, we got to do something about that.
It's awful. Yeah, it's awful. Terrible.
It's like the knees. We had knee problems and, you know, we invested money in making better knees.
Yeah, and what's crazy, though, is, like, I've had knee trouble since 89, and it's, like, it's not really much different now to fix a knee, other than, like, arthroscopies, they used to slice your entire kneecap open. They do, like, a full half circle in over to get in there, but now you can do all the arthroscopies and stuff.
Yeah.
But still, you know, like, after I had gotten mine done, they're like, geez, you know, you're looking at a full knee replacement in 10 years, and I'm like, okay, well, I had to wait about... you know, 17 years for this, you know, fix. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, we'll see.
Wow.
But I don't know. I love him, though. I think Michael J. Fox is great.
Yeah.
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 I loved what they did with Jimmy Kimmel on Back to the Future Day a few years ago. What was it? 2015, I believe, when Doc and him came out and they did a little 10-minute thing on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I can't stand Jimmy Kimmel, but I like that clip.
Me neither. Yeah. Oh, we were talking before, like, there's, what do you think, Winston? There's nobody good on late night anymore. No. I mean, nobody.
Late night
died. It's a wasteland.
Well, now that James Corden's gone back to London, yeah, I mean, what are you going to, you know.
You know, the karaoke thing was his only good idea. I thought that was pretty good. And then he had a brand, which was be as straight as you can, even though you're obviously a gay man. You know, that's pretty much what his brand was.
He was
And screaming was at people, shtick. Screaming at people in restaurants was his brand too. Maybe.
Well, that's what people didn't want to know about his brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the other side of the brand, there was him screaming at people.
Yeah.
But I relatively liked James Corden at first, not so much now. But you know, I thought he was pretty good at first with his stand up and stuff. I thought it was pretty good.
Do I need to point out that our writers are on strike because our, you know, we're doing all this ourselves. We don't have the writers here up with the jokes.
I'm wondering about this, too, and that's a good point to bring up about this week. It's like all of a sudden I can't watch Saturday Night Live this weekend because there's a writer's strike. And what's his name? Pete Davidson was going to be back on the show. It's like, come on. You got to be kidding me. This seems to happen almost every 2 years. There's another writer's strike. Yeah. It's like, how much money do you really need every couple of years? You know, give them a percentage.
Well, they're upset.
2%.
They're upset that their jobs are going to be replaced by ChatGPT. So
right. They've gone on
strike, and now their jobs are going to be replaced by ChatGPT.
Might as well. Oh, I got something for you guys.
And they're just driving it.
Yeah. And I can I tell you how little sympathy I have in this situation?
Yeah.
Like, here's my take. If you're worried about your job being replaced by a computer, you're not very good at your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have real talent
and bring merit.
Yeah, if you have real talent and creativity and imagination, the machine can't do that.
Well, you know, I think it's the most uncreative time ever in TV and movies. Even though we have a golden age of television really happening, I think it's kind of ending. But
it's over. It's been over for like a few years now.
But there was just some amazing, you know, shows that came on at the beginning of, you know, streaming services, and you know, HBO still pretty much consistently does some good content. But other than that, you know, it's running out. The well's running dry on creativity here in the U.S. of A.
It is.
But yeah, because we've got global groupthink.
Yeah.
Kind of focusing everything into, and they're, you know, everybody's busy redoing what was done in the past so it doesn't offend anybody.
I watched Love and Thunder a couple of weeks ago. I think I mentioned this to Derek on the show a couple of weeks ago. And at one point, they said Natalie Portman, she basically gets sick and she gets to hold the Thor hammer. What's it called?
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. And they had, like, what's his name, Takiti Waki or whatever it is, the director. Yeah. He said, well, we were going to explain why it called to her, and then we decided, well, we don't have to. We can just show a movie. And the thing is I think it's so lazy to say that. And it was so lazy with the Star Wars movies, with the Sopranos even, where they introduce characters and then some writers are working on the show for a season, then they're gone. Nobody goes back to them and does anything with them again. It's not having the totality and being true to the show that you're working on, the movie that you're working on, or a sequel that you're working on.
But Hollywood has destroyed any semblance of feeling that you have to be true to canon.
Yeah.
And they did that with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Doing that with some of the Disney stuff, and it just, where everything's being sacrificed on the altar of you know, political correctness.
Yeah. Well, it's that, but the other, you know, I've described it like this. Nobody knows how to write narrative anymore, and no one knows how to write drama anymore. What you have in a writer's room is a bunch of people sitting around saying, hey, wouldn't this be cool? Hey, wouldn't this be cool? Hey, wouldn't this be cool? And they write a bunch of scenes and throw it together and call it a show.
Right.
Or call it a movie. And as an audience, you sit back and you're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Why is any of this happening? Why are these people behaving like this?
I still have hope for the movies, though, in the fact that there's still relatively big budgets. They're coming down quite a bit, but you still have a limited amount of time to make an entertaining movie within, you know, 90 minutes to 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And I went and saw Sisu this week. I had no idea what it was, had no idea. I was getting out of the mall, and I'm like, this movie in 5-10 minutes, I was going to see Air, and I decided to see this one instead. It was about a World War II gold digger, and he was in Finland, and he finds gold, and then the Nazis come and steal his gold, and it turns out he is a old soldier, and they call him the Immortal, and he's killed over 300 Russians, so he kind of goes Rambo on all the Nazis for the next 85 minutes.
All right.
And it was kind of Quentin Tarantino-ish, but kind of John Rambo, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I'm like, I was entertained. I'm like, this is a good movie. It was fun.
Nice.
And I'm like, yeah, it's about time to actually go to a movie and be surprised.
Yeah.
And I don't do it that often anymore, even go to the movies, but to go into a movie knowing nothing about it, not even reading about it, I'm like, I have no idea. I just went in, and I was thoroughly enjoyed when I left the theater. I'm like, that was good.
Nice.
You know?
What's the name of that?
It was called Sisu. Yeah, S-I-S-U. which is it was a Finnish word for courage and determination. Above all odds, about hopeless odds. I mean, he just gets out of the most crazy things. Like he's doomed. And I don't want to give anything away, but at one point, I'll give a minor spoiler here.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
At one point, he's trying to get away from the Nazis, and they have some dogs in the group, and he's had to hide under a truck. Because he was resting, and they come by, and they're going to see him, so he hides under the truck. He pulls an Indiana Jones, goes under the truck, and starts to, like, drag for a while. He takes out his knife. He cuts right into the gas tanks to throw off the dogs with the smell. And then one of the soldiers eventually sees him, covers himself with gas, lights himself on fire, and jumps in the river. and there's literally, like, 50 Nazis there. And he beats all of them by the end of the movie. It's great. It's wow. Cool. It's a cool movie.
All right. I want to see this now.
Yeah, it is a cool movie. So that was some good news from this week. Some exciting movie news.
Oh, the other good news is Netflix is going to be flooding the airwaves with more Korean programming. So,
really?
You know, South Korea gives zero you-know-whats about political correctness or any of that.
Sure.
They're just pumping the stuff out, and you'll have plenty of it to watch now.
We talking anime or
no? Like live action, like Squid Game and all kinds of fun things.
I still haven't watched Squid Game. I heard it was good though.
Yeah, Squid Game is good.
Yeah, I've been watching Barry.
Kunk on Earth is good.
Yeah, Kunk on Earth is great. I finished that. Did you see that yet, Winston?
No.
Oh, you got to watch Kunk on Earth.
Kunk on Earth.
What is? Wait, where is it?
It's Philomena Kunk.
Netflix.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
It's on Netflix. So she's kind of like a Borat. Where she or Ali G, where she goes and interviews some experts and acts like a dope.
Oh yeah, I've seen clips.
Yeah.
I've seen clips. That could be pretty.
It's really good.
Yes, it is hilarious and highly recommended.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they just started up that that Watergate thing on HBO too, right?
Watergate. Yes, I think so.
Lent is over, but we haven't renewed the HBO subscription. We gave up HBO Max for Lent.
Yeah.
Okay. So we haven't renewed the subscription yet because we've been a little busy. But we'll get around to that. I know we want to watch that. And the there's that thing about Meep Guys and Anne Frank floating around on
what is it?
Hulu.
Meep Guys?
Meep, yeah. The one that helped...
M-E-E-P?
M-I-E-P. The one that helped...
Anne Frank?
Shelter the Frank family. Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, they got a new series, limited edition, limited run series on Hulu.
So they're they're the ones that put Anne Frank and everybody upstairs.
Yeah.
Do they get killed?
That didn't work
out
well.
It's basically, I don't think she did.
Yeah.
I think her husband did, but I don't think she did.
Because she was German, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's basically the
German
Anne Frank,
soldiers are like, yeah, we'll give you a pass, you German.
It's the Anne Frank story told through her eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And looks good. Looks really well done.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, while we're waiting for the next Fast and Furious movie, we got to watch something.
That was a tough one to read. We had to read that in junior high.
Fast and Furious? Frank. Yeah, because you want to see the car chases.
Fast and Furious with
Anne
Frank.
You don't want to read about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, narrating a car chase is so difficult.
It is.
If Anne Frank had had a challenger, I think she would have gotten away. You never know.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, yeah.
She had, and Vin Diesel.
And Vin Diesel, yeah. All she had to do was have Vin Diesel come upstairs. Yeah. Would have taken a couple. It would have been like Zisu 2.
Yeah.
Would have taken him right down.
Throwing some chains on the window, pulled the wall off the house, dropped it on all the Nazis, and jumps into the back of the Dodge Charger, and they're gone.
They're gone.
There is one part, okay, and this is one part of Zisu that I had to go down a little bit. There is a ridiculous woke moment in there. In the movie where all the girls get guns. And I was like, what happened here? Like, they just had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
But it was toward the end of the movie. I gave it one letter grade down, but I'm still giving it a B+.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. But, Mother's Day. When is that? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
I got mother in the background. Andy Summers is here, like next week or the week after.
I got no idea what I'm getting my wife.
Yeah? You can go to Andy Summers tickets.
You gave her a baby.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine. We don't have to get her anything.
It's perfect. It's like, much as I love you guys,
perfect.
You are zero help to me in this quest.
Yeah.
All right? No, zero help.
Perfect.
All right? And so I don't want any Mother's Day gift-giving advice from the two of you.
Take it out in the summers.
Look at Molly and say, what did you do with the stuff I gave you last year?
Yeah,
I keep giving you stuff and you do nothing wrong.
Also, where's the baby?
Yeah. Where's the baby? We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
We're told he's doing well.
Yeah. The Cabot's been getting a lot of good stuff. They're at the Wallflowers are there Friday. Andy Summers is coming there. You don't like the Puddles pity party, but I think he was there last week.
No, I got nothing against Puddles.
Oh, I like him. I think he's great.
Puddles is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. Andy Summers coming there. I'm sure he's not going to play any police stuff. But
no.
You know, he'll sit there and you could get a picture with him afterwards.
Maybe he does. Does Sting let him play that stuff? The thing about it is he's got to pay money to Sting if he wants to play that stuff.
Yeah. The background is Stuart Copeland, Clark Kent, Away From Home. This was a great album from 78. Stuart Copeland had done this Clark Kent album. So good.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's great.
It's
Don't Care, Away From Home. Nah. You weren't a police fan, though.
I was a police fan.
No, not if you didn't like Clark Kent, you weren't.
I was a police fan. This is not the police.
I got Andy Summers, some solo albums. That's a police fan.
No, that's a sickness.
That's a police fan.
That's clinging to the past.
I got XYZ. I got YYZ by Andy Summers on CD. I paid $17.98 for it at Tower Records. That's a police fan. Yeah. I loved when they came to the Boston, what's the Boston Red Sox place? Fenway. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's where the Red Sox play.
I know every police lyric, but I don't know Fenway. Yep.
But, so the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations are out. We know who's getting in.
I don't know anything about this.
And normally
I would. So who's getting in? I'll look that up. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sheryl Crow's getting in. No surprise there.
That's the lead. Oh, Sheryl Crow?
No, I'm burying the lead.
Come on.
Missy Elliott's getting in.
Ugh. Come on.
George Michael's getting in.
Yeah, I like George Michael, but pop. Missy Elliott, rap.
Sheryl Crow, rock light. Rage Against the Machine's getting in.
There you go.
All right?
But there's a band.
Now, here's a good one. Here's the one you want to see, this jam. Willie Nelson and Kate Bush.
Oh, God. I hate Kate Bush.
How do you hate Kate Bush?
I hate her. Willie Nelson, but I hate Kate Bush. Willie Nelson is country. He doesn't belong there. Kate Bush is bushy. She doesn't belong there.
So you listen to this, but you won't listen to Kate Bush.
This is fantastic.
You know that David Gilmour produced all of her albums.
Yeah.
And played on most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. she needed help.
No,
she needed help. A true artist doesn't need David Gilmour on her solo albums.
She liked working with David.
Sheryl Crow was out there. She just slept her way to the top, and she made a good album.
She wrote some good songs.
Yeah. I like that Steve McQueen song.
Yeah.
That's a good tune.
And Missy Elliott's good.
Yeah. She sucks. You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. Name me three Missy Elliott songs. Go.
I'm on, there's that song and then the other song.
No, she
Missy
sucks.
Missy Elliott's fine.
She sucks. I can name three Sheryl Crow songs. I can name three Willie Nelson songs. I can't do Bush. If it was Bush, I'd be excited.
What, you can't
Bush
name,
the band? They were great.
Can't name three Kate Bush songs?
No. There's the Mind Swimming one. What's she like? Swim Walking and Wind Talker. Problems with Being Kate.
Wuthering Heights. You don't know that song?
No,
it's a brilliant song.
I hated him. And I thought she ruined Don't Give Up by Peter Gabriel.
Hounds of Love.
God, she was
She's
the worst.
She's great on that. Like she.
I had a tape cassette. I had to fast forward. That was the worst when you have a cassette and you can't fast forward. And when Don't Give Up came on with Kate Bush, I was like, 14-year-old boy. I'm like,
she and Peter Gabriel pretty much collaborated on that whole album.
Well, it's the Peter Gabriel's name on the title. I don't know.
That was right?
It was like, so get rid of Kate Bush and you would have had a better album for me, that's for sure.
They got a picture of George Michael here, pre-nose job, looking very gay.
Well, he was. He
how
was
did
super
we not?
Gay.
How do we not know?
Well, I
how
know.
Did Willie Nelson
knew.
Not?
I knew
because
I'm super straight.
Now.
This is on NPR.org, by the way. Their coverage. Look at that picture, and tell me how we did. We weren't all sitting around going, "Oh, that guy's gay."
Anybody on NPR can't even name two George Michael songs. George Michael's great, though.
I love George Michael.
Yeah, he was great.
Awesome.
Super talented.
Great.
Super gay.
Great
super
voice.
Talented.
Yeah. Super gay.
Yeah.
But he was if he was still around now, he'd be doing pretty good, like Boy George, maybe going out on tour and being able to be like thoroughly who he was. But no, he was closeted.
I wasn't crazy.
Unfortunately, he was always hiding in the bathroom.
I wasn't.
That's what got him into trouble.
I wasn't crazy about the late 80s, early 90s reinvention of George Michael. You know, because up to that point, I thought everything he was putting out was super, super solid.
Yeah.
And then he comes along and he's like, no. I'm going to go R&B, soul, and forget about everything that made me popular.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, Freedom's a good song.
Freedom's a great song.
But Freedom is sort of the end of all of that. Freedom's like the one song that he made that's like, I'm doing this, then I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. Oh, I love Praying for Time. That's a great song, too.
I liked, I just, his slow stuff was good. I liked his upbeat stuff a lot more.
Freedom's great. Too Funky's great, too. When he has Mrs. Robinson in there.
Yeah.
Would you like me to seduce you? They play that clip. Everybody wants a lover like that.
You can't name three Rage Against the Machine songs.
Of course I can.
Okay.
Down, going down to Rodeo, the microphone fiend, and what's that other one?
Yeah.
Gorilla,
yeah.
Gorilla Radio.
See?
But I got all the Rage albums. I'm just not good with quick thinking anymore.
You can't name three songs by the Spinners.
The Spinners, I love. You kidding me? Rubber Band Man?
Are they That's getting one. In? They're getting in.
Yeah, the Spinners, they got all kinds of songs.
Well, let me put it this way. The Spinners are being inducted. I don't know if any of the Spinners are still around. There's probably still a Spinner left.
I'm going to tell you if there's a Spinner left.
Touring under the name.
Henry Fambro.
Okay. So
he's one of the original Spinners. He's 84 years old. He's going to be spinning in his grave pretty soon.
He's not showing up for the induction. He's not jamming with Willie.
Yeah. I'll Always Love You was one of them. Just Can't Stop. Games People Play, of course. Great song. Then Came You. One of a Kind. Could It Be I'm Falling in Love? Could It Be I'm
That's
Falling
a great song.
In Love?
What an all-time great 70s
Ghetto
songs.
Child. That's another one. Together We Can Make Sweet Music. And they guest starred as themselves on the Laverne and Shirley.
They did.
In 1983.
They were working their way back to you, babe.
That's a great tune.
That is.
That's not them, though, is it?
I think that is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is them. Yeah. 79, yeah.
That was the big comeback.
Yeah. And then that was it.
Yeah. Because nobody really wanted the doo-wop sound in the 80s.
I love the doo-wop sound. I love it now.
Yeah.
In 2023, I'd rather listen to that than Missy Elliott. When the hell did she... She was like in the 90s, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was in the 90s.
What did she do?
She did other than eat. What's wrong with Missy Elliott?
She like that, me fat-shaming her. I can fat-shame her because I'm fat.
No, she's not, but she's not, is the thing.
Oh, she used to be kind of good-looking.
She's always been good-looking.
Oh, come on. Really? I'd rather bang George Michael. Kidding me, and Missy Elliott.
Well, I can't blame you for wanting to bang
George
Michael.
He'd rather bang you, too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He's an attractive boy.
Especially in the bathroom of Foxborough Stadium. He was a deviant. Yeah. What do you got for us today, Derek? Anything that's crazy?
Oh,
crazy
yeah.
audio?
Yeah, I got some fun stuff.
Something special?
Yeah, well, in honor of Winston coming back, I thought I'd break out something that we played on one of his previous appearances that tends to be a real crowd pleaser on this show.
Alrighty.
And you're going to learn something too, kids.
Oh, get out those notebooks.
Pride of this big country is a thing we know and share. We're here to build a better life for you because we care. The things you wear, the world you live in, are a part of our life too. And we're here to keep them looking good for you. Looking good for you. Satin suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, everything, whenever, whatever, dry clean when you care. Satin suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, things you want to keep forever, dry clean when you care. Dry clean when you care.
Our country has come a long way and accomplished much in the past 200 years. Our people have grown strong through the development of advanced technology, better health, and I think one could proudly say, an overall better way of life for everyone. There are many great industries at work in America today, providing the goods and services to sustain and protect this remarkable life that we've come to know, and with this better life has come a mode of living wherein our people have discovered the pride of being able to dress better and more elegantly furnish their homes. And that's where we come in, because we're a part of the proud lives of millions of Americans everywhere today. We're the 10,000 members of the International Fabric Care Institute, and we're here to know about and care for the many fabrics that you wear and use in your home and throughout industry. Our members have come to know the strength that lies in a common voice to speak out stronger on the operation of our industry and the pride and future of our hardworking people. The International Fabricare Institute is dedicated to professionalism in laundering and dry cleaning through knowledge, research, and consumer fairness. Our membership looks proudly to community involvement, to a continuing investment in the best people and equipment, and our 10,000 professional members are here to deliver lasting pride and service to the fabrics that cover America and her people. The things you wear, the way you feel, are a living part of you. And we'll keep your life looking good, that's what we're here to do. The things you wear, the world you live in, are a part of our life too. And we're here to keep them looking good for you. Looking good.
Satin, suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, everything, whenever, whatever, dry clean when you care. Satin, suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, things you want to keep forever, dry clean when you care. Dry clean when you care. Satin, suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, everything, whenever, whatever, dry clean when you care. Satin, suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, things you want to keep forever, dry clean when you care. Dry clean when you care.
Five WMFO Medford.
Hello there. This is Brian Matthew. It's Saturday night, the zippiest night of the week. It's the night when you can leave the worries of work far behind, go out on the town, have fun, live it up a little. It's for occasions like this, when you want to look your very best, that John Collier give you the Saturday night suit. Yes, the Saturday night suit. Your kind of suit. A suit with a sense of occasion. It may be formal or informal, in Terrilyn worsted or tweed. It may be one of hundreds of different cloth patterns. And make no mistake, from the first skillful cut of the shears by a craftsman who took 6 years to learn how, to the last loving stitch, you get superb styling. Styling you decide on. You get fantastic finish with great attention to every tiny detail. That's why you look good, feel great in a John Collier suit. Yes, whenever you wear a John Collier suit, it feels like Saturday night. John Collier Saturday night suit prices start at £10.19 and 6. No other tailor in the country can match John Collier at a price like this.
Look what's new in that famous window to watch.
The Saturday night suit by John Collier. The Saturday night suit by John Collier.
Look good, feel great in a John Collier suit. They're better made in every way. Perfect patterns, fabulous materials like Easy Care Terrilene. Styling that's way ahead in comfort, look, and fit. Yet prices start from just $10.19.6. Yes, $10.19.6, that's fantastic value. And whenever you wear a John Collier suit, you get that feeling, that swinging feeling like every night is Saturday night.
The Saturday night suit by John Collier.
That's what's new in that famous window to watch.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications.